Hello, everyone. This is your host, Sergeant First Class Arsalan Khan, with the Warrant Officer Recruiting Company. And today, we'll be exploring the 125 Delta Geospatial Engineering Technician, Warrant Officer Military Occupation Specialty. Our special guest is none other than CW4 Scott Hashigan from U.S. AFRICOM J2 Molesworth, England. And he will be talking to us about what it means to be a geospatial engineering technician in the 125 Delta Warrant Officer Specialty. CW4 Hashigan, thank you so much for joining us today, and we are excited to hear your input on all the different ways the 125 Deltas do to contribute to mission accomplishment. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences as a warrant officer and how you feel about serving in your warrant officer specialty?
I became a warrant officer in December 2005 as a geospatial engineering technician simply because I really enjoyed doing the technical work as a geospatial engineer soldier and as an NCO. And I wanted to further my career in this field as a technical expert, advisor, and teacher mentor to those that also grew up in this career field. Being able to serve and support Army commands at the division, corps, and Army levels has been extremely rewarding as a geospatial engineering tech by enabling engineer and intel brethren to visualize the terrain without actually having to be there, support to planning missions, and ensuring mission success. Without maps, and in particular non-standard geospatial intelligence products to highlight man-made or natural terrain obstacles to military vehicles, for example, are critical for commanders to fully understand while planning their missions.
For the potential applicant listening, we have asked questions that most of us have when deciding to pursue a career as a geospatial engineering technician, warrant officer. And we would like to delve into some of these questions and get your take on some of the most crucial questions we all want to know. Let us begin by asking, what do warrant officers in your specialty do in a normal span of a duty day when they start out as a new warrant officer in the cohort, and how do those responsibilities evolve into more responsibilities later on?
Geospatial engineering technicians can be found from echelons at brigade combat teams, engineer brigades, and sustainment brigades on up to divisions, corps, Army, or the geospatial planning cells, or GPCs, and up to combatant commands. And they are the officer in charge of geospatial engineer teams, or geoint cells, normally comprised of 4 12 Yankees, which are geospatial engineers, at brigades, on up to 27 soldiers at the GPCs, at the Army level. Leading these teams as a 125 Delta requires knowledge of geospatial data, for instance, roads, rivers, vegetation, boundaries, etc. Color and grayscale imagery at different resolutions and area coverage, and elevation data at different resolutions to ensure the appropriate scales and resolutions cover the area of interest and support mission command systems for a common operating picture. Being able to plan for and manage these large data sets requires consistent communications with mission planners and intelligence partners to efficiently gather, store, import, analyze, and synthesize this data into products that best tells the story of which routes to use, obstacles to avoid, or areas to land aircraft, just as examples, to support various missions. Being the OIC has been an extraordinary honor to facilitate these processes and to teach, coach, and mentor 12 Yankees to build and brief these products. With the constant improvement of technology, these products can also be shared as web services to enable customers to visualize and analyze the terrain at their own workstations. With map layers we create, with custom or standard military symbology, turn on or off layers, and measure distances with relative accuracy, essentially we help the customer help themselves. This is just an example of how geospatial engineers can support missions virtually without actually having to be on the ground.
Why should someone pursue this type of commission, and what are some of the benefits they take into the civilian world?
There are several rewarding paths that geospatial engineering technicians can take. once selected and starting their careers. However, it's important to understand that volunteering for challenging and diverse assignments is important to widen perspectives of the possible and best understand how the Army works at each echelon. And furthering knowledge and experiences in special assignments such as training with industry, service school instructor, or training developer are examples of how senior 125 Deltas can give back to their field and gain extremely valuable knowledge. In other words, starting out at the brigade level is expected as a W01, but then moving to a division or a geospatial planning cell or other broadening assignment will help gain experiences and knowledge to further their career and support the Army. It's important not to be stagnant and limit challenges to just one echelon for extended periods of time. But speaking of numerous certifications that geospatial engineers can achieve, for instance, the Geospatial Professional Certification Fundamentals, which is proficiency level 1, is just the first step in achieving the required certification that geospatial engineers must attain to further their career and be assigned to assignments that could further broaden their career. Other proficiency level 2 certificates are GPC Geospatial Analyst, GPC Cartographic Analyst, GPC Geospatial Database Manager, and GPC Imagery Analyst. And these are required for 12 Yankees and 125 Deltas to be considered for broadening assignments that require specific skills that relate to those job descriptions. For instance, if a CW3 wishes to work at the Army Service Component Command's Geospatial Planning Cell as a production manager, it would be more likely for the CW3 with the GPC GDM and GPC GA certificates to be selected for that job over others that do not have them. And the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, or NGA, requires their workforce to achieve these certifications in comparative jobs in the civilian workforce.
As a young staff sergeant working in a particular shop a geospatial engineer would work in, what advice would you give them on what types of jobs they need to start working towards in their enlisted careers that will help them to achieve a commission as a 125 Delta?
One of the best things that a staff sergeant or sergeant first class can do to become a 125 Delta is to be extraordinarily passionate about their technical skills as a geospatial engineer leader and strive to receive excellent accomplishments in their core competencies. Their NCOER should reflect exactly that in their achievements and will assist in the warrant officer selection board. Another thing that will help them get selected is by having diverse assignment experiences and to strive to become either a service school instructor or possibly serve at one of the training centers, whether it's National Training Center, NTC, JRTC, or JMRC. Being able to train the MOS to younger soldiers successfully proves patience and the will to pass along valuable knowledge to the next generation and reinstills the competencies in yourself to deepen the skills required to perform out in the field and fully understand how your soldiers should be able to perform.
What types of training can a young enlisted NCO benefit from when considering to pursue a career in 125 Delta Warrant Officer Military Occupation Specialty?
Geospatial Engineer Techs are the GEOINT Cell OICs right out of their training, so they need to be knowledgeable on imagery intelligence analyst capabilities and how those skills can work well with geospatial information that the geospatial engineers provide. The NGA and Army's GEOINT Battalion in Springfield, Virginia offer a wide variety of training opportunities to broaden knowledge on what IAs can do and how geospatial engineers can combine the resources to provide a complete intelligence picture for the commander's decision-making process. Many of the imagery intelligence sources, tools, and training are classified, which is why 12 Yankees and 125 Deltas are required to have TSSCI clearances.
Sir, what are some of the most common mistakes made by applicants applying to the cohort, and how can they be avoided?
Oftentimes, good NCOs stay at the brigade or same echelon that they are currently assigned to for years and years because they really enjoy supporting that level of command and operations tempo. But staying at that level and working more than the normal duty hours day after day, year after year, can keep them from experiencing work at other echelons, potentially not taking time to achieve college education or not making other desirable self-improvement opportunities to advance. Or some may prefer to jump from one easy assignment to the next and not seek to challenge themselves to gain valuable experiences outside of their comfort zones. It's important to show the selection board that you are diverse, always seeking to learn something new or take on challenging assignments. Your ERB should show you either are being deployed, taking college, achieving professional military education, or some other military school each and every year, or the board might find you being stagnant or not willing to continuously challenge yourself.
Sir, thank you for that insight. Well, when submitting a packet to the board, what do board members value the most? And, you know, could you help us to describe the process that takes place when your packet is reviewed by the board?
I personally have not sat on a selection board, but I have been told applicants receive points for various items such as level of civilian education, PME, graduated, most qualified on OERs, etc. Some have higher points than others, and most qualified carries the most weight on OERs. But it behooves applicants to strive to achieve the best NCOERs possible by actually performing above and beyond that which is expected of them and stand out above their peers. Be well-rounded and exceed Army standards in physical fitness, civilian education, extra duties, etc. Be innovative, adaptive, and make things happen. Those are warrant officer attributes that the board wants to see, so I've been told.
Once an applicant is selected, how long do they attend WOCS, and how long is the training for 125 Delta warrant officer specialty?
Once selected, the candidate may have to wait up to 12 months or so to attend WOCS at Fort Rucker, which can take 8 weeks to complete, and then a month or two before the next WOBC starts at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, which lasts 4.5 to 5 months, depending on holidays, etc. There are only 2 warrant officer basic courses per year, and each class can hold up to 8 students. So there are a few slots, very competitive, and can take time to complete warrant officer training depending on the backlog of WOCS slots and timing.
Thank you, sir. What advice would you give to a newly selected NCO in your unit on how to prepare for WOCS and warrant officer training they're about to conduct?
Learn your job inside and out. Observe and learn what other successful leaders do to fit in and fully support their command, and learn how to improve areas in which you might be weak in, for instance, briefing, writing, or communicating, etc. Geospatial engineers find ways to get to yes answers. They strive to find solutions that best support their customers and commanders for long-term success, and they are resourceful. Before saying no to customers, find a potential solution from internal to your organization before seeking help outside. Keep track of solutions so you can reuse them to fit similar needs. Build your data and products to serve multiple consumers if possible, and understand the accuracies and inaccuracies, depth of information, and related limitations to effectively communicate with your command and consumers what might be needed for further decision making. A 70% of a solution on time is better than no answer at all. So don't wait to give that 70% of an answer, but ensure you effectively communicate that is just 70%. And what else is needed to get to 100%.
Thank you, sir. That was some great advice. Once you have been trained and pin on as a warrant officer, do you have any input on where you'll be stationed and what is the process for selecting a duty station?
This all depends on the needs of the Army. The new warrant officer can discuss with their assignments manager of which opportunities there are, but it's all about timing and positions opening up within the following year. Warrant officers can request to go to certain locations. but there may not be open slots where they wish to go. So do not expect to go where you would like to go. But there are a variety of locations, CONUS and OCONUS, for 125 deltas at the W01 or CW2 ranks. Make sure you reach out to your assignments manager as soon as you can and get the opportunity from your WOBC instructor to determine what the possibilities are based on EFMP, your children and spouse needs and desires.
Thank you for that, sir. When approaching your unit officer in charge and or your senior warrant officer for a letter of recommendation, what steps should an NCO take to position themselves in receiving a stellar letter of recommendation?
Senior warrant officers will most likely want to see your last five NCOERs at least, including your DA 1059s from PMEs attended in the last 5 years. Senior warrant officers will most likely look for any derogatory items that may deter him or her from writing an LOR and determine if the candidate is still worthy based on what is found in the NCOERs or 1059s. If the NCO is overweight consistently or has other recurring issues of the like, those would be addressed and recommended to the NCO to correct the behaviors to get back on track of being healthy and a role model as a warrant officer. If the candidate's NCOERs and 1059s are worthy, then the senior warrant officer will most likely have an interview with the candidate to get a good understanding of the candidate's intentions of becoming a warrant officer. The intentions should be positive, primarily selfless reasons, and in a professional demeanor and outlook from the candidate to prove the candidate has a maturity and longevity to effectively become a 125 Delta for at least their 6+ years obligation.
Thank you for that insight, sir. What is family life like as a 125 Delta warrant officer, and how can we best take care of our families as we embark on our quest to become a 125 Delta warrant officer?
Expect to work longer hours with more responsibilities as a warrant officer than as a senior NCO. Your family will need to understand that you are now a warrant officer, essentially an officer that has technical abilities to make things happen as smoothly as possible to facilitate systems of systems, training of soldiers, and always on top of communicating issues, initiatives, and successes of his or her team up through the chain of command. This often means early mornings and late evenings, more time away from the family, so ensure that family bonds are strong and understanding of the warrant officer's obligations and ensure effective communication is occurring at home as well as at work.
Thank you for that advice, sir. This is a two-part question. When creating your resume, what is the best way to highlight some of the skills you possess, and what are the most critical skills to highlight? Furthermore, what are some of the most critical trainings to highlight?
I believe the resume is more than just highlighting the most critical skills, but in how the skills are portrayed and how they had an impact on the organization of which you served. Yes, it is important to highlight that you manage hundreds or thousands of requests for information, or RFIs, accomplished X amount of geospatial or geoanalytical products, or managed X number of terabytes of geospatial data and products, but how did that data, products, or services impact the organization? It's important to ensure that the candidate can effectively communicate that in writing, so the selection board can easily understand without too much technical jargon. But if I were sitting on the selection board, I would look for how well the candidate produced, how she or he managed their databases, services, and products, and if she or he had a variety of assignments, whether it be at the brigade, school instructor, corps, geoint cell, etc., to bring a broad perspective as a new warrant officer. It's not always the training annotated on the ERB, but the competency bullets showing how the training was utilized, which is more important to me.
Thank you, sir. What are some of the most important things to talk about in your resume summary page, and how do board members view these comments?
Explain why you want to be a warrant officer in the MOS 125 Delta and how you can have a large positive impact as a 125 Delta. Speak from the heart, but in a coherent professional manner. explain why you believe you can improve any geospatial team with the skills you currently have, or how you have the potential to expand on your skills with minimal training to make an effective team of teams and be able to produce data and products, as well as teach your soldiers to do the same. Explain how you can easily meet Army physical, health, and mental standards to efficiently serve as a 125 Delta for your 6+ years obligation, and be willing and able to deploy with your team on a minute's notice to support with the provided equipment that you have. The Army needs warrant officers that are selfless, loyal, and can live up to the warrior ethos as an Army officer. Prove to the board that you are this leader.
That is some really good advice, sir. What are the 3 best duty stations that one can expect to serve in while assigned as a 125 Delta warrant officer?
The best duty station that you can serve at is the one you are currently assigned to. If you are not actively seeking ways to improve your current foxhole, then you are wrong. You can wish for a cushy assignment that requires little to no effort, where you can take time off on a daily basis to go golfing or catch up on your civilian education. But if you do that, you are depriving yourself, your soldiers, and your organization from becoming a better place to work. Regardless if your unit has a robust budget and can purchase all of the bells and whistles to do your job or not, there is always room for improvement. Ways or means to automate processes, computer language scripts to be learned, to better simplify processes, to be more productive, ways to better serve your customers, manage data, products, etc., etc. So the only way that I can answer this is that any assignment you get can be as good or bad as you make it. Each assignment needs a strong 125 Delta. And just make sure that you are proving to be the best warrant officer that organization can have with the strengths that you can share to improve that organization.
What are some of the most important certifications and training experiences warrant officers should pursue in the course of their careers in this warrant officer military occupation specialty, and why?
In order to be competitive with your candidate peers, you should strive towards your next college diploma, towards a geospatial or geoint certification, towards being assigned to units that deploy or have a busy operational tempo, to exercise your skills and perform up to or beyond your potential. Everyone starts their warrant officer career at different levels of experience, levels of training, etc. But find out what level you are at, what your strengths and weaknesses are, and build upon them all. Honestly, making CW4 is not that hard if you remain competitive with your peers and continuously perform as most qualified at your jobs according to your senior raters, and continuously work towards improving your organization. Making CW5 is obviously the most challenging and requires the most dedication and longevity of the best warrant officers. Having a master's degree, mostly having most qualified OERs, having a wide variety of assignments with proven track records of improving each of those units while assigned there will help you make CW5 eventually. That is what you should strive for, setting up for success in the very long game.
Thank you, sir. That was a lot of great information. On the subject of promotions, starting from W1, how long will it take in this warrant officer military occupation specialty to progress through each rank to reach CW5?
W01 to CW2 is generally 2 years after pinning W01. Making CW3 on time is generally 5 years after making CW2. Same with CW4, 5 years after pinning CW3. Making CW5 on time would also be 5 years after pinning CW4, but this is very competitive and requires a stellar board file requiring open CW5 positions and requires a 2-year commitment before retiring.
Chief Hashigan, thank you so much for joining us today and offering your advice and insight into this crucial MOS for the Army. We really appreciate your time. And for those of you listening out there that are, you know, deciding to pursue a career as a 125 Delta, I only have one thing to say to you, and that is to go warrant now.